Good evening and welcome to worship in Second Ballyeast. It's always a pleasure to have visitors and we hope that you will enjoy our time together. Once again, I'd like to offer our thanks to those who have been involved in any way with this Harvest Thanksgiving weekend. Really, the number of people who are involved both up front and behind the scenes is so large it's not fair to label them one by one, so just let them know that they're appreciated. The exquisite decorations now have to be dismantled and distributed throughout the congregation. If you'd be free to help, tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock would be a good time to be here. And just to let you know that one of our congregation, Gillian McCauley, is off to Tanzania tomorrow with the charity Farm Africa. We wish her well, and next week we'll provide more details should you be moved to support her work there.
Good evening, everyone. You're welcome if you've been here this morning, back again, or if you're just here for the first time today. As you can see, and as Robert has said, we've been giving thanks to God for our harvest here. And now I'm going to ask Jerry and Ashley to come and help me, to help us begin our service today. So they have been primed. They're going to be coming around the church now with the basket, and in the basket are seeds. Don't worry, choir, we'll not forget you too. I'd like you to take a seed. There's a mixture of sunflower seeds and pumpkin seeds, and I don't know what the rest of them are. If you know, take one. Just take it for the moment to hold it. They'll be coming around to you in a second. I'm always amazed how Presbyterians can make everything so quiet. It's like gardener's communion. It's a seed, folks. And of course, if you have a nut allergy, don't eat it. You can just hold it, though, because that would be really silly. Can anybody tell me what the other ones are? We've got sunflower and pumpkin. Anybody recognize the other ones?
Anybody know? Any bakers in here? Because they're, guess where I got them? In the baking aisle. It just said mixed seeds. Cat? That's not a seed. It's a nut. Jim thinks we've got cashews in there. I'm pretty sure they're just seeds. There's definitely pumpkin, yeah. And there's definitely sunflowers. The other ones, I don't know, the smaller ones. Sesame? Probably sesame. Is that Corinne? You said that? Thank you. You probably had some of these in a burger bun if you eat burgers. Or indeed birdseed. I like to treat you. No expense spared. Caraway seeds too, I think, are in there. I should go and get the packet, really, shouldn't I? You might wonder why I'm making you pause to do this. But harvest is a time when we stop. Because you and I live in a consumer culture. And so often we're used to expediency and speed. So often we just eat and run. But harvest is the opposite of that. Well, how are we doing for seeds for everybody? You at the back, Jerry, there, Ashley? You're running out. You're awful hungry. Did you not get fed today? There's some grapes we can use too. The choir did get two. Do you guys get one? Yeah. Wilbert?
No.
Oh, poor Wilbert. Thank you, Jerry. Did you get one?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. You got one. I'm going to take one too. Thanks, Ashley. Now you get a seat for a moment. But this is the gift of a time to pause. I invite you just to take your seat and look at it. It's such a small thing. If you have a sunflower seed, well, maybe you've had this week. Not eating it, but the oil that you use in your house. It's so many uses. Seeds. But whether it's for our cattle or whether it's for our crops, it all begins with a seed. We believe that seeds are a gift from God. They're part of God's creation. And so when we hold a seed, it's a sign of both a present and a future gift. It's a sign of growth that God gives to us. And their growth will help us to celebrate life. It's a sign that God promises to feed us and all the world. So as you come to this time of harvest to pause and to give thanks, may these seeds, whether you take it with you or eat it, they are edible, or feed it to the birds, because that's where the rest of these are going. May they remind us all that we too are sacred seeds planted in God's garden. And we thank God for the potential, not just of our harvest past, but the seeds we have and the harvest to come. And so as God's people, we worship God.
Hill and river, far and
Let us pray. Loving God, as the earth nourishes seeds, may we be nourished by this gathered fellowship and by the assurance of your holy presence. And as the sun provides energy, leading seeds to transformation, may we find the courage to embrace new life through Jesus. And as water refreshes and replenishes growing seedlings, may we be restored by the movement of the Spirit. Protect us from harmful attitudes and actions, and lead us all to abundant life. In Jesus' name, who taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the Gospel according to St. Matthew. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed those who were ill. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he told the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Michael. A prayer of confession. Let us pray. We have prayed, "Give us this day our daily bread." Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for not sharing the bread that you have given us. Forgive us for not seeing hands outstretched calling for bread and for not recognizing them as yours. Forgive us for thinking that it is our bread and not your bread, Lord. Forgive us for not sharing the bread of life that you have given us. Forgive us for not seeing arms outstretched, seeking to find meaning in life and not recognizing them as yours. Forgive us for not living the good news that we have received, that others may too share in the bread of life with which we have been blessed. Forgive us for not sharing the living vine that you have given us. Forgive us for not seeing the open hearts that call out to be loved and cherished, and for not recognizing you. Forgive us for not loving as you have loved us. Bless us with the courage to do your will, faith to endure the journey, and love with which to embrace all our sisters and brothers. For thine is the kingdom, Lord, on heaven and on earth, and to you alone be the glory. Amen. Well, we started off with the seed, and whether you use sunflower oil in your house or all the different kinds of things, we benefit from so much. One of the things I like to do, often happens in the manse on a Monday, is I bake a loaf of bread. Now, I don't mill the grain that's harvested to make my loaf. There's a whole series of connections that go right back to the farmer who grew it, so that I get the flour, so that I can make my bread and feel pleased with myself. But there's a real disconnect for some people. There's a connection for me when I go to the shops and buy what I need. I get all the resources I need. Thankfully, all of us here have that connection too to those who grow and produce our food. But there is such a disconnect between the potential of the earth's resources from the very seeds that we have and the poorest people in the world. It's estimated now by the United Nations that approximately 1 billion people are undernourished. Malnutrition is the leading cause of death in children worldwide. And here at home, as we highlighted this morning, poverty is increasing. That's why there's a basket here of tins, as there is a potentially disastrous divide between the wealthy and those in the breadline growing exponentially in the UK. We're supporting our local food bank. It's part of a movement that aims to resource households with the basics to live with dignity, that their whole families can flourish. The one that we support here is under the Trussell Trust, if you haven't heard about it. The Trussell Trust is a program that began with baby Boris. In 1996, a couple, Paddy and Carol Henderson, met baby Boris. He was living with his 14-year-old mother under a bridge near the railway station in Romania, in the capital. Paddy and Carol were working as part of a UN feeding program. Paddy Henderson writes, "Baby Boris was really, really small and very vulnerable and very smelly. I used to cuddle him and he craved it, would nestle into my fleecy top while the mother ate her food. I vowed we would keep him alive over the winter. We used to bring him formula milk and try to get his mum to use clean water. He lived. And later, baby Boris was taken into an orphanage. We had seen the horrendous state of orphanages and wondered what was better for him. Life on the streets with a drug addict teenage mum, or in a baby orphanage where conditions were likely to be dire. I knew that his mother really loved him. It was then that I knew how to do something to get these 60-plus kids off the streets and away from drugs and child prostitution. I know some of those conditions because I was there in the same year in Romania, over a couple of years, in fact, and saw the destitution of many. And there were many who were inspired to go from this country, from our churches, our schools, community groups, to go and help people in desperate conditions, especially the children. Except they came home. And one year in the year 2000, Paddy Henderson gets a phone call. He lives in Salisbury, and there's a mother saying, "My children are starving. They're going to bed hungry." Paddy started to look into his own area and was deeply shocked to discover what was going on. The hidden hunger and deprivation in the UK. Lots of groups have been doing this now. If you're interested, you can look at the Joseph Rowntree Trust. It's based on an organization that was developed by the Quakers, who had that great Christian concern for the poor. But the shocking research they got showed that significant numbers of local people faced short-term hunger as a result of a sudden crisis. Somebody gets a cancer diagnosis and can't work, or someone takes ill, or even something as simple as when you're on a 0 hours contract and they can't work for a few days has a massive impact on putting food on the table. And so what they started was the Salisbury Food Bank. It began in their garden shed, where Carol and Paddy started providing 3 days of emergency food to local people in crisis. That grew to start with the UK Food Bank Network, and it came because of money. And it's called the Trussell Fust because Carol's mother, Betty Trussell, had left her money in her will. And so they decided to put it towards this outreach. Because of their Christian concern and the work that they've been doing, the Food Network has been launched that teaches churches and communities, including those in our own area, how to maintain a food bank. And not only that, but also how to maintain sustainable work. Not just that you give somebody a tin of food, but you help them get to a situation where they can be self-reliant. So community shops have been springing up across the UK, a thing called upcycling projects, where they take household objects and help them become not landfill, but something useful by restoring and repairing things. They call it restoration and upcycling. There's community gardens where people are producing fruit and vegetables in their own local community and involving local schools as well. Simple things, even like a bobbing stripping partnership with a local carpet manufacturer where they buy back stripped bobbins for repeat use and give people a job and dignity. Small, small, tiny things. Tiny things like a seed, but planted in communities, they bring hope. For we need it. It appears from what we know now that our children are the first generation in this 100 years past whose life expectancy is going to be less than you sitting here. Part of that is due to food insecurity in the UK. Food prices are to increase. And as there's parity with the euro, and as it looks now to be parity, worryingly, with the US dollar, it's predicted that our food prices could be hit with a 50% increase. And the poorest will suffer. But I think the Hendersons and the Trussell Trust exemplify something at the heart of our gospel lesson this evening. The miracle of the loaves and the fishes was that all were fed when the openness and generosity of one was blessed by God for the benefit of everyone. There is an abundance in sharing, and it doesn't have to be something large. From tiny seeds planted in communities, something marvelous can happen. Stories again and again of those who come in. One of the stories the Trust tells of a woman called Sarah who walked into one of the community shops. She was ready to take her life. She had no hope. She She had no job. She didn't know what to do with herself. And it wasn't even she got a tin of food. She found kindness and acceptance and somewhere warm to sit. Something so small as sharing your company with someone can blossom into something truly wonderful. There is an abundance in sharing, planting even the smallest things. It is an act that God will bless if we give in faith. So simply in this harvest time, as we have paused today, as we've given thanks to God for the amazing abundance that you and I share, and also time to repent at the astonishing amount of food that we waste, let's ask ourselves a question. Are we generous? We pray for our daily bread, as we're told to do, for we all need our daily bread. But do we just hang on to it for ourselves? Are there seeds that you and I can plant? Maybe nothing enormous, but something small. Something just so tiny, but yet it can impact others. An act of generosity, a donation of your time or your talents or your gifts that can help others flourish. We need to ask ourselves as Presbyterians in this island, are we generous as a denomination? For we're constantly dragged down by the demands of our structures and buildings. And always look for examples of others to encourage and inspire us. It was nice today, just as I was leaving church, for Gillian McCauley, as Robert said, came up to me at the end of worship to say that she'd forgotten to say she's going to Africa, as you do. But she's heading out to Africa tomorrow, and we hope all being well with the wind. She's going to the big beehive build. And over this week, 15 women are going to be helping a local community in Tanzania to build 100 beehives. It's the Farm Africa Trust. They'll be working in Tanzania, and they're working with the Burmese community to develop all of these apiaries. The purpose is such a small thing, but it's to give these communities something sustainable, something to sell, something to use themselves, something to develop their own farming business. They're kick-starting a local community with something as simple as just their time and their work. It's good to be reminded of those who do these things, who give something so small in a way, she's not giving all of her year, just a week. But God willing, this will have a fantastic impact in that local community to help them develop their own sustainable lives. And so now we come to the offering. I asked you to pause at the start today to reflect on a seed. But as you come with your offering tonight, perhaps in silence, Wilbert, as we lift the offering tonight, as you reflect as you give your offering, what seeds can you plant this week? Yes, for their offering we give to God to build the kingdom of God. But what else this week, even if it's just something, a tiny seed, a gift, your time, something this week to help build the kingdom of heaven on earth here? And so in silence, we worship God with our offering. Let us pray. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God. And so we open our hearts to behold God's promises to us and open our hands to share it. For the hands that weed the fields and tend the livestock and haul the nets, hands that pack the boxes and load the trucks and stock the shelves, hands that work where we do not, like the very hands of God, for this and so much more, we are deeply thankful. Holy God, thank you for our food and keep us always aware of our humble place in your web of life. Thank you for the countless blessings that come through your creation, offering us fullness in life, in body and in spirit. Open us to receive such grace with humility that we may live with respect in creation and know your peace with all that lives. May the blessing of the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes be ours also. May we be accounted among the 5,000 who ate and drank to their fill, and yet found enough to share beyond. In Jesus' name, amen. May the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of you, now and always. And all God's people said, Amen.